Well, we have a little bit of a spoiler alert. In case you didn't figure it out, we are reading the Hebrew lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 49, and it's the story of David and Goliath. You can find it on page 249 in the regular Pew Bible and on, that's what I'm looking for, page 324 in the large print Bible. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, flung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The word of God for the people of God. And now, if you would join me responsibly reading Psalm 9, found on page 744 in your hymnal. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Tell among the people God's deeds. The Lord who avenges blood is mindful of them and does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See what I suffer from those who hate me. You are the one who lifts me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, and in the gates of the daughter of Zion rejoice in your deliverance. The nations have sunk in the pit which they made. Their own foot has been caught in the net which they hid. The Lord is made known. The Lord has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked shall depart to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not mortals prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are mortal.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. It can be found on page 171 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 221 in the larger print edition. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak to you as to children. Open wide your hearts also." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
May I ask you now to take this opportunity to rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's on page 36 of the New Testament in the Pew Bible, and it's on page 47 if you're looking at the large print edition. Hear these words. The context is this. This follows directly on the heels of Jesus explaining the parables of last week to his disciples. "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boats so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great awe. And they said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. My friends, let me share with you an insight that I believe may have value and meaning for you today. throughout the last 13 years that I have been in formal ministry, every week that I was to preach on Sunday, I have had this same experience. As the week moves forward from Sunday last, I become a bit anxious and concerned as I face the important responsibility of preaching God's Word this coming Sunday. Just ask Jane if this is true. My guess is that there is a similar weekly experience for every preacher who takes this responsibility seriously. And every week I go to God with this prayer. Lord, help me to find the words of the message that you want to give to your people in this place this week. Help me to help them to see you and to know you in their lives. Amen. Well, this past week began with me and Jane enjoying Rocky Mountain National Park after Sunday's conclusion to the annual conference of the Rocky Mountain Conference. Early in this week, Pope Francis released his encyclical that documented what he calls the ecological crisis. And by doing so, he furthered the debate on climate change and faith and our human role in this world. In the middle of the week, there were those horrific murders of sisters and brothers at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston as they met together at a Bible study, not unlike our Bible study in this church on Thursday night. Friday was Juneteenth, the 150th anniversary of the announcement in Galveston, Texas, 2 years late, of the emancipation of African slaves in this country. On Friday, I presided at the graveside service at Fort Logan National Cemetery for the uncle of an old and dear friend from Cortez. And today, we come together in worship at Burns Church on the summer solstice and on Father's Day and on Jane's and my 29th wedding anniversary. As I have searched this week for the sermon of God's Word that ought to be preached today, I came to realize that the product may simply be in the process and in the prayer. Lord, help us to discern the message that you want to give to your people in this place this week. Help us to see you and to know you in our lives. Amen. Let me now share with you some ideas that may at first appear divergent. I am moved this morning by the story from Mark's Gospel that so beautifully illustrates the power of the Lord of creation, Jesus the Christ. He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" As our own Mark Doctor, reminded us so articulately last week, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, from Proverbs. It is easy to feel the presence of God when we are filled with great awe. The image on the cover of your bulletin, if you haven't taken a look, take a look. This is a place of beauty, a place that I love, a place that Ron Mackus took 4.3 microseconds to identify. That is Dream Lake in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I would almost guarantee that Ron knows some of the fish that used to live there. It is easy for me to feel the presence of God when I experience the Lord of creation in this wilderness setting. But I also feel God's presence in the glory of God's creation when I hold this ponderosa pine cone that I picked up at the YMCA of the Rockies in Estes Park. I am reminded of the lectionary reading from last week. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. In like manner, the seed of this ponderosa pine cone could fit on the tip of your finger. Yet in the perfection of God's design, that seed gives birth to a stately pine tree that rises up on average 100 to 160 feet in the air. Awe, wonder, wisdom. Let us look for God all around us in the beauty and wonder of this Colorado summer. Today, on this Father's Day, when we heard the macho story of David and Goliath, and we will sing the somewhat militaristic sounding hymn, Stand Up for Jesus, all of us might rightly reconsider what it means to be a man of Christ in the 21st century. Now, following Jesus has always been a countercultural proposition for women or men, but it is especially important for men in today's world to understand and to claim and to live into their biblical role as disciples of Christ and spiritual fathers. I want you to think about your own earthly father and reflect deeply on your relationship with your heavenly father. Listen closely to David as he spoke to Goliath about his wish that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear. Men of God, it is time for all of us to follow the lead and the teachings of our good shepherd, Jesus. Finally, I want you to consider the murders of those people and their pastors at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston this week. Feel those feelings. Try to imagine the hatred that fueled this horrific act of cowardice and fear. Try to imagine the grief and the loss and perhaps the anger of those who remain alive in this church of fellow followers of Jesus. Even in the difficult aftermath of those murders, the Holy Spirit and the love of the Lord of a creation is present in their midst and in our midst right here and right now. And there was forgiveness. And this morning there was even joy. And just as Jesus said to his followers in the boat, Jesus says to us right here, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? I believe that this experience of loss is a God-given opportunity to witness on an international scale to our faith and to the strength and resilience of the love of Christ. Let me ask you to trust me and to follow one simple instruction. Will you do that? Let me ask you right now to reach out to someone sitting next to you and hold his or her hand. Go ahead. Just reach out and hold a hand. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and listen to the silence. Keep your eyes closed and consider this. The hand that you are holding has a heartbeat just like yours. The skin of the hand that you are holding could be white or black or red or yellow or any color in between. And it does not matter to God, and it should not matter to you. The hand that you are holding belongs to a creature of God, a fellow follower of Jesus Christ, a beloved person in the eyes of the Lord of creation. Hear these words from Psalm 9. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You may open your eyes. My sisters and brothers, life is messy and difficult and beautiful and joyful and painful and blessed and everything in between. And life is a precious gift. Let those who have eyes see, and let those who have ears hear. The Lord of creation loves you. Lord, help us to discern the message that you want to give to us, your people, in this place, on this day. Help us to see you and to know you in our lives. And let us act in your love. Amen.